From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
Delighted to welcome to John Hannam Meets for the first time ever, Claire Machin. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too, John.
West End star in Oliver, Les Mis, My Fair Lady, Memphis, Mary Poppins, and so it goes on. Wonderful.
Thank you.
And currently, of course, you're in Flowers from Mrs. Harris at the Chichester Festival Theatre until September 29.
That's right.
We'll talk about that a wee bit later. I last met you briefly when you were doing Titanic.
That's right, in Southampton.
What a show.
Yeah, a beautiful show. And I was so... it's because I knew very little about the show Titanic. I knew quite a lot about Titanic, the vessel, but very little about the show. So when Tom Sutherland asked me to do that, I was initially, how do you do a musical about Titanic?
Yes.
And of course, you don't. You write it about the people on board. And
yeah.
Then it was a beautiful, beautiful piece of theatre.
It seemed perfect, really, that the main debut of the show was in Southampton, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a powerful thing because there's a map in the museum in Southampton. And it has all the streets, the whole map of Southampton town. And there were red dots all over the map of how the families affected by the sinking of the Titanic. And when you looked at the street map, there wasn't one street unaffected by the Titanic. It was quite shocking.
Coming from the Isle of Wight, we see lots and lots of liners, you know, and I was thinking back after I saw the show, lots of island people must have been lining the sort of shoreline to see the Titanic go on its maiden
waving
voyage.
It off, yeah, absolutely.
Golly. You don't still do impressions, do you? Because when you
when I was 8 years old, I used to do impressions in my bedroom, and the family didn't know. Mum and Dad, my sister, nobody knew about this. It was just our secret between myself and my teddies, and I think my Cindy dolls, you know. And I would start with Kermit the Frog. And we'd go, I was only 8 years old.
You
and
don't
go,
still
right.
do them, do you?
I don't think I do. I did a terrible Frank Spencer, too, that kind of went, Betty, my dog's done a whoopsie in the corridor. I mean, it was dreadful. And Margaret Thatcher, I did one of Margaret Thatcher that I might attempt. And it was my Uncle Philip who gave me a line for it. Well, I heard them talking and I thought, that might be funny. I'm not sure, because I was only eight. But... And of course, it was during the miners' strike and all sorts of things going on. But it went something like, I have thought of a way of beating inflation. I am leaving the country.
You actually won at Butlins, didn't you?
Is that a trick? Yeah. Doing that. Yeah, won the family a holiday. Because obviously, eventually, they did find out that I did such things in the privacy of my own bedroom, you know. And it ended with Bright Eyes, Claire Machin singing Bright Eyes, introduced again by Kermit the Frog. You know.
I used to love the Muppets. They were good.
Oh, so did I.
Yeah.
And bring them back.
It was amazing, the big stars that they had on the show who wanted to be with the Muppets.
I know, it was everybody, wasn't it?
You grew up on a steel miner's estate in Stoke, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I did, yeah. Yeah, Dad's still there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was sort of where you ended up at the Palladium. You'd done Palladium shows, I know, so that was great for you, wasn't it? Sort of.
Yeah, it was. My dad said something interesting years ago now, but he saw a production of Pygmalion. Again, I was 11 years old, so the last year of junior school. And I was playing Eliza, and they came to see that, you know. And he said, I sat there, and it was the first time, and he said, I felt concerned and worried as a parent, because it was clear that that's what you should do. You should be an actress, you know. He said, but I didn't know how on earth that was going to happen, because there we were, you know, up north on a miner's estate, and London and all of that, you know, seemed far away. This was late 70s, early 80s, you know. It seemed another world. But he thought that's what you have to do. So.
Because quite often parents said, no, get a real job, didn't they, when something...
Yes, yes, yeah. Exactly, exactly. But I think we've always no one's had the luxury. Everyone's just make do and mend. So it was, why not, you know?
I know Sylvia Young was involved with your career.
Yeah.
That was probably late 80s, was it?
Or? It was late 80s, yeah. Sylvia was very, very encouraging and kind and generous and hugely supportive and continues to be. She was a big influence on
her,
me.
Her sort of track record of star maker, if you like, in a way, is amazing, isn't it? The
it
people
is.
She's actually
it
brought
is.
Through.
I mean, she started, Claire Burt, who's playing Ada Harris in Flowers for Mrs. Harris, was one of Sylvia's first ever kids, along with Matthew Ryan, Francis Raffel, Nick Berry, a whole team of them that all, I think, lived locally. And they put on a show to raise some money for some community centre. I might be getting that slightly wrong, but it just started as raising some money for something that the kids needed, you know. But of course, she was blessed with such a talented group of kids at that time. And I think it was 50 pence a week.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Your professional debut was at the King's Head Theatre?
That's right.
Did you have a dream at that time or not really?
I knew I wanted to be in a West End show. And Matt Ryan was directing the play at the King's Head.
Was it an old Carrot play, was it?
It was, yeah, yeah. Part of the Tonight at 8:30.
Oh, right.
So it was a lunchtime show, and it was part of that, and it was Red Peppers. And I was playing Lily Pepper. Of course, I was 30 years too young for it, but nobody seemed to mind a lunchtime in Islington, you know. But, yeah, Matt was associate director on Les Mis, so I... and he taught me Oscar Wilde at Sylvia's. So we did all our Oscar Wilde lessons with Matt, which was how I kind of got to do this play.
Heidi, hi!
Howdy, ho!
Hello, listeners. You are listening to John Hannam Meets.
You've done some amazing theatre. Are you happier doing, say, theatre than television? You've done TVs like
I
that.
I am, yeah. What it is about the theatre, it's instant, it's live. You can feel the audience. I don't like seeing them, so I'm happy once we've left the rehearsal room and the room goes dark. Then we go to a dark room. Well, I don't like to see an audience, but I love to feel them and hear them. And you can't beat that live experience, that they're a part of the show. The audience is the last cog to arrive, you know, and it's thrilling. Yeah, I love the live aspect of it.
You've done some TVs. You did Miss Marple, didn't you? And you
did, I did a long time ago. And yeah. I just recently, Vanity Fair, which is on ITV at the moment, I did that before Christmas, last Christmas. Just one episode, nothing grand. Mrs. Nielsen, the shopkeeper, you know, so... I'll see. I think it's episode 6. Watch to see if I've been cut or edited out of it. And I was wearing a dress that was too tight across the back, so I couldn't move my arms. So
I think you were in the movie of Les Mis, weren't you?
Yes. Yeah, I was. I was.
Because you've done Les Mis in the West End, haven't you? Completely different, obviously.
Very, very different. It sounds really ungrateful. I was grateful to do the job, but I didn't enjoy doing it at all.
You preferred the stage one to the movie?
Yes, yeah, I really did. Yeah.
With the movie, I think, in a way, Claire, it was a bit easier to follow or understand the story in the movie than sometimes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Right, theatre shows, Memphis. You got nominated, didn't you?
I did. Well, I got nominated for a What's on Stage award. And I was given the nudge as well for the Olivier that year and also for Pyjama Game, which started here in Chichester and then would transfer to the Shaftesbury Theatre. And so twice in the same year and ended up with nothing. But which is a bit like the Lady Bracknell in The Importance of Being Earnest, you know.
Yes.
To lose one parent is considered unfortunate. To lose two seems like carelessness, you know. So that's really the story of my life so far. Just slightly miss it. But I did get nominated last year, 2017, for an Olivier Award for The Girls at the Phoenix Theatre.
Let's talk about that one, because that was sort of about a WI. It was different to Calendar Girls, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. In as much as it concentrated on that friendship, the six ladies that did the original calendar and how that came about. So it was much more family orientated. In the film, they go to America, which did happen. You know, all of that did happen. But the girls ended with the photo shoot, ended with the making of the calendar. So it was really how the community supported that and their families. So it was a beautiful show, full of heart.
With the Calendar Girls, I preferred the stage show to the actual movie, because in the movie they went to America, which I didn't like very
much. That's right. You sort of, because you lose the heart of it, I think.
Yeah. So did you have to take your clothes off?
I did.
When you were first told that.
Oh. Yeah. And I was the only one to actually have to take everything off.
Oh, really?
Because everybody else was behind something. You know?
Yes.
So they'd have a couple of buns hiding the boobs. But it meant that they could keep their pants and, you know, flesh-coloured tights on.
Right.
But I was sitting at a piano with my backside facing 1,600 people, you know. So, and there was one night, actually, that we were doing the whole scene. I think the scene's 16 minutes in length. And it starts, obviously, with a dressing gown and a pair of beautiful black court shoes and a pearl necklace. But that's all you end up with once you take the robe off. But I had the robe on and I thought, oh, my God, I've still got my knickers on. Oh, no, what am I going to do? So there was a little moment I could slip into the cupboard, into the WI cupboard, and Stephen was there, who a lovely actor who was playing Lawrence, and he was waiting to come on. And I went, sorry, Stephen, I'm just going to have to take my knickers off. So he was as shocked. And then, of course, I had to then open the hatch at the back of the set to hand my knickers to stage management. And it was an experience that I haven't repeated. And I also didn't think anyone would ever ask me to take my clothes off. I mean, this is the radio, so I mean, they can't see me. But, you know, you wouldn't necessarily think, oh, there's an actress that will get naked on stage, you know.
I've known Celia Imrie for well over 30 years because she used to live on the Isle of Wight. And because I always tease her about the bigger buns in the movie.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I think that's why they didn't give me that bit, you know. I don't think there was a bun big enough, but it was a whole piano.
Yeah. And you were involved with Mary Poppins in the very early days,
very,
weren't
very
you?
Early days, yeah, 2004. Yeah, and even prior to that, some of the workshops and readings of it at Bedford Square at Cameron McIntosh
Amazing.
Headquarters, round a table, you know.
Because Laura Michelle Kelly really began her career on the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
And an amazing lady. I can remember seeing her just in the chorus of local shows. And she went to London, queued up for an audition, and now she's done Broadway, movies and everything.
Yeah, I mean, and remarkable. She really is remarkable. And has this sort of glow about her, this sort of spiritual glow.
Her dad invited me down to see Mary Poppins in Bristol before it actually went to the West End, and my late wife and myself got there, and the mechanism had broken or something.
Yeah, to move the house, was
it? Yeah, and they cancelled the show, so we went all the way to Bristol.
That night, gosh, yeah, all the way to Bristol for that. Oh,
yes.
No.
Have you got a Robbie Williams story, or am I dreaming?
I do have a Robbie Williams story.
Go on, then.
Because Robbie Williams is obviously a fellow Stoke
yes,
man.
Yes.
And of course, that's my hometown, and we did The King and I together when I think he's about 3 years, 2 or 3 years younger than myself, and we were both sort of in the chorus as kids. But my cousin Laurie, who's the same age as Robbie, I think they were at the same school, and she would iron his shirts.
Gosh.
Yeah, I think it's the only shirts Laurie has ever ironed, you know, but yeah, she used to iron Robbie's shirts.
That would have been long before his singing days in
Yeah,
Take
I think
that.
He just started with Take That. They were just coming out of the school halls and just starting to do clubs and just starting on the road to stardom.
Many years ago, I was invited to a club on the Isle of Wight because this unknown group were coming to the Isle of Wight to film a video. No one had heard of Take That at all. And I thought, well, I don't know them. Do you know what? I never went.
Oh, no. It's like the man who turned down the Beatles.
Yes, it is, isn't it? And the lot, they were all there in that group. Because Gary Barlow was involved with the girls, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
reality shows, in our lifetime, they sort of come out. Is that good, you think, when someone can go and win a reality show and then go into a musical? They did one or two in the early days, didn't they?
They did.
Do you think that helps a business or not, really?
It's a tricky one. I think ultimately it doesn't. They think it's a quick fix, but actually what I think it's doing and continues to do is actually it kills theatre eventually, because some do have the talent, they do, and it's a means of getting what they deserve. But more often than not, I feel it's really mediocre, either no talent or very mediocre. And then they're put into these big shows on a commercial basis, thinking that they're going to fill a theatre. Well, I don't know about you, John, but I think there's very, very few people who can fill a theatre in the West End. So you're talking minimum 1,200 seats, 8 times a week for 12 months. Those people now are few and far between. So it's a quick fix. But what it does do is an audience goes to see a show and they think, well, that was okay. They weren't blown away by it. They didn't have the full experience. And the new work takes a bit of a risk, and thankfully more and more producers now are taking a risk on new work and relying maybe less on celebrity, which I think is good.
Mm.
What is happening is almost imploding, because the quality in some shows is so poor that eventually people won't go. So it's a double-edged sword.
I was just going to say 8 shows a week sort of soon finds them out, doesn't it, really?
It does, yeah.
Golly. You've done a one-woman show, haven't you?
I did once yes. Just to see. I wanted to dip my toe in the water.
Did you enjoy that? Or did you miss sort of acting with other people?
I enjoyed the acting with the other people. I kind of used the audience for that, because they were there. There was lots of people, so... And my MD at the time, Kate Young, MD'd for me on that, with Ed Morris on bass. And I very much included them, and we had sort of laughs together.
Bounce
so there
off.
Was a bit of banter, yeah. But I think I would like to maybe have another go at a different... It's a scary concept.
I bet.
It is.
So, Flowers for Mrs. Harris, the reason I'm with you, actually.
Yeah.
And you're a great fan of Chichester anyway, aren't you?
Oh, I love Chichester, yeah. And it's so exciting that Daniel is here. Daniel Evans taken over as artistic director. And I was desperate to work with him, you know. So I'm thrilled to be finally here in Chichester working for Daniel.
So what's your take on Flowers for Mrs. Harris? Because it's proving popular. It's only opened a few days ago.
It is. Tonight is our 5th preview. It's overwhelmingly beautiful. I mean, you're almost killed with kindness. It's so kind. And I think that's what resonates with people. And this extraordinary, ordinary char lady changes people's lives by kindness and consequently changes her own. She's lonely and she's lonely no more by the end of it. And it's such a beautiful, positive message. And gorgeous writing by Richard Taylor and Rachel Wagstaff.
Hopefully may move to the West End, is
that
the
hope? It deserves it. It really does. It's beautiful, yeah.
There's a lot of shows in the last few years that have gone from here, Chichester, to the West End, very successfully, haven't they?
Yes, and sort of Chichester's becoming known for that, really. Mm. Or if it's at Chichester, it must be good, therefore it'll have a transfer, right? I mean, it's what you hope, it's what the piece deserves, whether they take, you know, the travelling band of actors that they've got currently to town with it, who knows, but the piece itself deserves to. And Claire Burt, who plays Ada Harris, is phenomenal.
I just want to go back to Titanic, because you had a terrific role in that. I think you made
Alice
it...
Alice Bean.
Yeah, and... lots of people were impressed by you, because I know. I said, who did you like? And I didn't tell them I knew you or whatever. But so that was a good hit for you, wasn't it?
It was. And that's really kind to hear that. And yeah, but yeah, I loved Alice, because it was very easy to make Alice sort of two-dimensional buffoon, really, aspirational climber. But there was much more to Alice, you know.
Telling me.
Yeah.
Right, so it's always nice to interview a friend of my daughter. I know you two know each other.
Yes, yeah. She's gorgeous. You're a lucky man.
I think I am a lucky man, yeah. Because I've got two great children who give me great support, which is nice, isn't it?
It is.
Right, ambition time then, Claire. Have you got a dream left or not really?
I'd love at some point to play Mama Rose in Gypsy.
Oh, yes.
I'd love to do that. Other than that, I'd like a job to start the 1st of October 2018. At the moment, there isn't one. And people, they're ever so funny. They say, won't you enjoy the rest? And believe me, I would love 6 months on a LILO. I mean, absolutely. But unfortunately, the mortgage doesn't have a rest. The gas doesn't have a rest. You know, they all keep going. So.
I was going to say, sometimes when I haven't gotten the interviews for a couple of weeks, someone said, who are you seeing next week? And I say, well, nothing's come in yet. But
yeah, it'll be something wonderful. I say that sometimes. And what are you doing next? Something wonderful.
Next Tuesday I am, because I'm going to Rita Tushingham's house. So I'm looking forward to that.
There you go.
Claire, thanks very much for your time. And you're here in Flowers from Mrs. Harris until 29th of September.
That's right.
And then hopefully next year might be back in the West End.
Fingers crossed.
And what about Titanic? Is there any more plans for that? Do you know, or not really?
I don't know. I have a feeling that they'll do something with it, whether it'll be an international adventure. I don't know. But no one's spoken to me about it. So, but
whatever you choose to do, whatever comes in, I wish you great success with
Thank
it.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire. You've been listening to John Hannah Meets, courtesy of Isle of Wight Radio. Don't forget to look at my website, johnhannam.com, for news of more interviews and how you might purchase my books. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.